Hey, welcome to another episode of the Quick Fast Podcast, where you don't know who you are.
And neither do we.
Very nice. Well, we're coming at you right off the bat with another edition of the Gay Sex Deck. Yes. We don't want to delay. We want to dive right into this thing because we know how eager our audience is. And on top of just being eager.
Anticipatory.
Ooh, yeah. Yes. They're, they're, yeah, erect with excitement.
Oh, that's a good way to put it, my friend.
Yeah, no innuendo intended.
Alrighty. Analyzing the picture as we do first.
Yep.
We got two guys who look to be about 17 years old. One with kind of spiky hair. One
they're
with
hot little, guys.
Little shaggy hair. Yeah, their eyes are closed, thin-lipped. And they are holding one another in a nice embrace, one hand around the small of the back, probably touching the top quarter, maybe half of the buttocks.
Okay.
And then another hand on the shoulder and another one on the hip. So that's the image. Then we got to flip it over and see what the description
is. Yeah, before you do, what do we think's going on there? Oof. Just a rub down?
I'm thinking a little bit of dry humping.
Some dry humping.
I'm thinking if you're in this position, you can feel each other's erection, and you can kind of get the juices flowing that way. I believe that is card of the Gay Sex Deck is trying to tell us.
If I was in that position, he would definitely be feeling my erection right now.
Right, if you were a gay man.
If.
Which you're not.
No.
But there's not anything wrong with that, of
definitely
course.
Definitely not.
That's all okay. Right, I'm going to flip it over and hand it over to my main man number three to break it down.
All right, this is... I believe it's pronounced frottage.
It's likely French.
Yeah. It looks like cottage with an F-R. I'm not going to say frottage, though. I'm going to say frottage.
Frottage.
Okay. Use clothes to your advantage. When you're having sex or just making out with your partner, there's no need to strip it all off right away. Use your clothes to arouse each other. Touch each other through and around them, and enjoy the fact that they're usually in the way. I'm not sure why that was in quotes, as if it should be spicy. You can start to imagine his body before it is fully revealed later. Enjoy the texture of different fabrics as they slip and rub against your partner's skin and your own. You can often stroke your partner more smoothly if he's wearing a t-shirt, while denim jeans allow a rougher approach than he would appreciate if he were naked. Also, look at how clothes smooth out the shape of the body.
Yeah.
Grip the creases and caress the curves. Added freedom. Now, this is some bonus material I don't think we had on the last one. Clothes also provide a psychological safety zone, helping you to explore and feel intimate with your partner without the immediate pressure to perform. Or the sense that a body you might fear to be less than perfect is being critically scrutinized. You're free to make out like teenagers to enjoy the lighter aspects of foreplay. Your play, of course, can also be more clearly suggestive of sex, and you might find yourself rubbing hard against your partner in what, if not for the clothes, would be a sexual position. Again, though, the pressure is off.
Right.
Think of such play as an extraordinary rehearsal. Oh, I'm sorry, exploratory rehearsal. That was a little Freudian slip there.
Well, extraordinary, exploratory, they go hand in hand.
Exploratory rehearsal for the more full-on action that might be happening later. So.
All right, number three. I've got a confession to make. I didn't know it was called this before this moment, but I am a frottage man.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like I've heard of this from the Ricky Gervais show.
Okay.
I thought it was when two guys rubbed their dicks together. And I'm sort of embarrassed to think that there's some error.
Right. Isn't that what we kind of thought was going on, except with the clothes on?
Yeah, but I didn't know it was with the clothes on.
So. But, okay. Take out the guy-on-guy aspect. I'm a frottage kind of guy. I prefer a girl, generally, with a little bit of clothing on. I like a bra left on.
Yeah, I like that.
I like heavy foreplay with some underwear on, things like that. And I don't know why. It seems like everybody I know is wanting to get everybody naked all the time. But I think the female body looks a little bit better with some clothing on it.
Yeah, well, see, I'm conflicted, because I do like to leave, the thin t-shirt on, you know, but occasionally I like it when she just gets in the bed and is naked, and I'm naked, but we haven't even kissed, we're just already naked. It's nice to just already be there. I like it to not always have to be a process of getting on right. Kiss the neck, kiss the mouth. Nibble the ear.
It shouldn't be a bunch of work like it is the first time you're trying to get with someone where you gotta like go through the steps and you're unsure a little bit each time. Like, well, wait a minute. If I go here, is she gonna be cool with me doing this next? Yeah, I do know what you mean. And there's an intimacy value to everybody being completely naked.
Right.
But I think in terms of just sexuality, I like a girl with a bra on. I like a girl with a little foreplay with her underwear still on.
Mm-hmm.
I think a woman doing that in those conditions is probably hotter than a fully naked woman.
I'm conflicted. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree, but on one hand, I do like the clothes, and on another hand, I like the nudity.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to have to say, you know, I'm 50-50, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So...
I don't know. I prefer it. I prefer a bra on. I prefer something like that. I like it.
Number 9, down with frottage.
Yeah, you put me in the category of pro frottage.
Pro frottage.
Mm-hmm.
We'll call you something that has to do
with frottage. Call me number 9.
There we go. That's a good one.
Yeah, I like it.
Number 9. And people will now, from henceforth, associate number 9 as a frottage guy.
Mm-hmm. And number 3, not so much. Not so much of a frottage.
I like the frottage. I hope,
by the way, I'm not sure while we're having this conversation, but I'm hoping frottage is just the clothing on part, not necessarily two people rubbing their dicks together. I have now just proclaimed myself a frottage man. And I did so under the pretense that it would apply despite the genders involved. You know, hopefully it's not a purely homosexual act because I'm on record.
Well, let's look this up.
Okay.
We're going to go.
Let's Google it.
Urban Dictionary.
Uh-huh. Well, that's the only way to get the real deal.
I want to get to the right, you know, right to the quick.
What is the frottage?
We're waiting on loading.
Well, you don't tell the internet
what
to do.
No. Frottage.
Uh-huh.
Frot or throat. I don't know. Tribidism? Dry humping, or any other no penetration body grinding done with or without clothes in public or in private.
I like it. I'm sticking with it. I'm a frottage man. Okay. I prefer you know what? I was thinking about this. I almost prefer the dancing at the club with the girl to the getting the girl home and getting her naked.
I don't.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like the dancing, but right. I like the...
You want to seal the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm less a process oriented, I'm more goal oriented when it comes to that. Not for better or for worse.
Right.
Maybe for worse, I don't know.
Different strokes.
The quote they use
possibly
for frottage. Oh, the delicious frottage. I'm still tender all over. So that's clearly gay.
Yeah, I was gonna I cringed a little bit. I don't know if it came through on the mic, but when it said that sounded homoerotic.
Yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
But not in my mind.
Not in your house?
When I proclaimed myself a pro frottage man, I didn't necessarily think it had such a homosexual innuendo. But nevertheless,
you know,
win some, you lose some.
Yep, and we live and we learn. And what can you do? So good.
There we go.
A little clearer on frottage.
Yeah, and hopefully we've educated our listeners. And we've wrapped up another edition of the Gay Sex Deck.
Something having completely nothing to do with gay sex.
All right. About time we mixed it up.
Yeah. An incident that occurred earlier that you were with me for.
This day, my friend.
You and I are driving.
Mm-hmm. Couple girls in the back.
Yep.
Don't leave that
typical.
Out after we're talking about frottage.
Right.
We need to let them know.
Yeah. Coming back from getting some lunch, and we're pulling up at a stoplight with the windows down, because the weather's nice, and a woman yells like, hey, excuse me, something like that.
The music down.
Yeah.
And she says,
I'm looking for so-and-so, some sort of a fitness place that I'd never heard of,
right.
And I know the town pretty well. And then she said it's on you know,
some street
that I've heard of, but I don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. And so I couldn't help her. Well, anyway,
hold on, let's pause. The whole exchange probably took 8 seconds.
It was not long. It was longer than 8 seconds.
You think so?
Yeah,
I'm looking for,
because that light turned green and then turned. No, it was red when we stopped.
It was red. We're in the left turn lane. Right. There's two lanes going straight, and we just happened to be next to a woman and her daughter, it looked like, I believe, who are trying to go straight, and we're trying to go left. And she says, "Excuse me, we're looking for the fitness place. Do you know where it is? It's off of this street." "No, I'm sorry. I don't really know." "Okay, thanks." That's the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
That was the whole exchange. I think that's about 8 seconds.
Okay. So, we stopped there. And meanwhile, the light has turned to green.
Mm-hmm. Just the arrow. Just the arrow, yeah. Of the lane we're in.
So, the people in front of us, everyone has turned, and it's just us. And behind us is, I think, a little, like, a Ford Explorer or something like that. Yeah, one of
those Escape, maybe. I don't know.
And we just get the blare of the horn. Like, the horn, the consistent horn sound for 4 seconds?
Yes, the not the tapping of the horn, like, which is what the horn's intended to do. Catch someone's attention. You know, like, beep, beep.
Right.
Beep, beep.
There's the friendly sound of that, and then there's a beep.
And that's what we got. This person did what I like to call laying on the horn. Yeah. They laid on it immediately. There was no warning horn. There was no, "Hey, excuse me, the light's green" horn. It was laying on the horn, mm-hmm. as though we're just kicking it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
we just stopped, nothing to do.
Yeah, we just know this lady, right. And we just thought we'd stop traffic to just talk. It's that, you know. So the immediate reaction of everyone in the car, like, we're all, "Oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. No, we don't know where that is.
Sorry." Yeah.
It turned to an immediate, everyone does an about face, flips the finger.
You flipped the finger.
I flipped the finger.
I'm not a finger flipper.
I flipped the finger and pumped the finger. Because I was supremely pissed. Like, I was like, it was the feeling of, I will get out of this car and fuck you up.
Yes.
And I don't really get that very often, but I was, you know, slightly inebriated or something.
Number three is a peaceful man, usually. Yeah. You're not a fighter.
I am not a fighter, but...
But you fist pumped with the finger.
Yeah. Yeah, like I will take pump. This finger, you know, you can infer any number of things, but the fist pump finger is much more.
And then you pulled up about 3 car lengths, and we're at the red light now because our arrow did go from green to red. The guy had a legitimate beef in that regard.
He was not wrong in honking.
We caused him to miss the green arrow. However, it wasn't one of those deals where he was going to be stuck there forever. Not a major intersection, whatever. And my initial reaction, although I didn't do it, I wanted to, was, and I even said it, like, I should get out of this car and go back there and be like, "What the fuck is your problem? Like, why would you just lay on the horn when we're trying to help this lady and her daughter get directions?"
Yeah.
That's all we're doing. Give us the little tap. Give us the, "Hey, excuse me, the light's green," something like, don't lay on the horn. Mm-hmm. When you lay on the horn, it's confrontational.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're saying, like, "Fuck you, you're fucking up my day."
Yep. And it's all about them anyway. Yes,
that's really what it was.
And it will be from now until forever.
But the irony was, we go from trying to be good Samaritans and helping the lady and her daughter find the gym or the fitness place, to you fist pumping with the middle finger and me wanting to get out of the car and be like, "You got a fucking problem."
In less than a second.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, immediate. "Oh, no, I'm sorry. Fuck you, you son of a bitch." Kind of attitude.
Right. And I thought afterwards, well, first of all, I turned around, like, while I was considering taking my seatbelt off, and I had my hand on the buckle, like, I should get out of this car and be like, "What the fuck is your problem?" Because most, 99% of people who act tough about anything.
Yep.
You get up in their face and you go, "What's your problem?" And they will cower.
Mm-hmm.
Because tough guys are not going to sit there and honk the horn. The tough guy will be the one getting out of the vehicle going, "You need to fucking move before I beat your ass."
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I've just been through enough experiences in life to know that. So I had my hand on the buckle and I turn around and look at the guy. And it was a, I would say, 40-ish year old guy, something like that. And he, like, stares at me for a second. We make solid eye contact for about a second, maybe two. And he gives me the turn around sort of thing. Like, you flip your head back around. And I was thinking, "You motherfucker." And right as that thought was going through my head, like, this guy is a super douche and needs to get his shit straightened out, you just run the red arrow. you go left on the arrow even though it's red.
Which I was going to do anyway.
Which you should most of the time. Yeah. If you can see oncoming traffic coming, you should be able to go left whether the arrow tells you yes or no.
Absolutely.
But nevertheless, you pulled out, and then we were flabbergasted by the event that it did.
Oh, yeah. And we were angry and thought it was hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, we're laughing our tails off. But, yeah. And it's probably better, you know.
Yeah, you don't want to do it. And it brought me back. I mentioned a story. There was one of my best friends in junior high. We stopped hanging out quite as often after junior high. But I remember him when he was about 16 or 17. And when you're 16 and 17 and you're a guy, you're an aggressive driver, period.
Mm-hmm.
They get cut off on like a highway type road. Well, eventually the highway type road ends up in town at a stop sign.
Sure.
This guy had cut them off and it was like chaos. Like they had to slam on the brakes to let this car pass because the car tried passing when they didn't really have time. They get up to a stop sign when they get in town. My friend was the passenger. He hops out, walks up to the driver's side window of the car that had cut them off like 4 miles earlier, and he just punches the guy right in the face. Now, a police officer ends up seeing what happened in town and is like, what's going on? What happened? And the guy who my friend punched in the face starts freaking. That motherfucker! I'm gonna kill that motherfucker! Blah, 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 blah. I'm gonna kick his ass. Anyhow, because the guy spazzed so bad, cop ended up telling my friend and his friend to just leave. Just leave. This guy's lost his cool. You guys just go home now.
So he gets a free pass?
He got a free pass. And he hopped out of the car and he walked up to the guy and he just, boom, popped him right in the face.
God, that would hurt.
Oh, man. And wouldn't it be awesome? I've always envied the fact that he did it. Because we've all wanted to just do something like that at one point in time. It's like, what's that movie? What's that movie where that guy with the suitcase and the tie, he loses his cool? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Falling Down.
Yes.
With Michael Douglas or something.
It's like that movie, Falling Down, where you've just had enough.
Yeah. And you just want to go get an RPG.
We've all been there. And go into it, yeah. And that's what I felt like from going from trying to help the lady and her daughter find the fitness center. I immediately went into like, I would like to rock this guy in his face.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it was an interesting thing. All right. So, we had our little road rage incident. No worse for the wear.
No.
Didn't see the guy again. And I hope he feels good about himself for laying on the horn while we were trying to give directions to a lost woman and her daughter.
He's
trying
telling,
to have a good Saturday afternoon.
He's telling that story to neighbors or family. And they're like, well, what was his problem?
Yeah.
And he flipped
Why
you off?
Why was he just stopping
He
there?
Was in the wrong.
Yeah.
Which, sure, shouldn't have been holding up traffic.
Right.
But it's one of those, you weigh the thing, help the lady for 6 seconds, 8 seconds,
it
whatever.
It had to be blatantly obvious that we were talking to the lady in the car next to us who was at least 15, 20 years older than us. It wasn't just casual conversation.
A couple of kids hanging out.
It's a 45-year-old woman and her daughter
mm-hmm.
looking for directions.
You should have got out of the car. I should have stopped and you should have got... I mean, he would never have honked the horn again.
No. And that's the thing, is that's what you hope. You know it's already, the damage is already done, but at least in my mind, it's like I want this person to know that the world does not exist for their beckoning.
Yeah.
You don't have the right to just slay on the horn like that to anybody. You
right.
give them the warning honk, and then if they don't move, okay, give
right.
me the longer extended horn, but not the 4 second one that he initiated with.
Right.
Beep, beep. Beep, beep. His horn went beep, beep, beep.
All right, so now I figured we'd shift gears a little bit, talk a little technology.
Okay.
I myself, not a big Apple fan. I don't really necessarily like it that much because it's hard to customize stuff. And I know there's the jailbreak thing out there that people are doing, and it allows you to get certain apps and things like that, and you can customize the iPhone a little bit. But I got turned off on the iPhone a few years ago when I was trying to share a ringtone with a friend who had the iPhone via Bluetooth.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to send them the tone. And I sent them the tone, but they were then unable to use the tone
yeah.
as their ringtone. And it was just a chopped up MP3 that I had done on my own computer or whatever. And I was like, well, what kind of software are you running where you have a song on the phone and it will not allow you to use it as your ringtone?
It's messed up.
It really perturbed me. And it kind of turned me off to the iPhone because you just can't customize it. They want you to get everything through them and through a mm-hmm. store. And I know now there's getting to be more ways to cut out that with various apps. But should you have to do that? Should you have to install a special app in order to be able to make whatever song you own on the phone your ringtone?
Well, just because you own it doesn't mean you get to use it any way you want.
Right, and that's the Apple thing that I don't think people understand. It's super intuitive. It does what you want it to do. It's easy. It does a lot of stuff for you. But in terms of customization and being able to kind of tweak it to your own liking, not the iPhone strong suit.
No.
But you've got the newest iPhone,
yeah,
right? The iPhone, is it the 4S?
4S.
Okay, now what do you think about it? I know there's a couple features that are new.
I would probably be happier with something else. I got the iPhone just because of the... Well, I had an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you know, iPhone, I can have my camera, my music player and whatever right on there. And I got the iPhone or the iPod because when I had the iPod originally, I had a bunch of things that the plug for the bottom, it fits right in. So it's got the same deal. And in my car, I've got it.
Yeah, hooked up to the stereo. Yeah.
Right. And so that was my reasoning for getting the iPhone. And then I was kind of turned on when I saw the OnStar app that will allow you to start your car from anywhere and stuff, which I don't have OnStar, but my future car, yep. I'm planning.
Looking for a caddy.
Yeah, whenever I get money. First, I've got to get the money.
Right.
So if you want to give us some, we're going to set up a PayPal. You can just donate.
I think it's money, caddy, hose is how it goes.
Yeah.
Biggie said something about mm-hmm. that.
So anyway, it's pretty good. It's actually good technology, but yeah, there's the whole, you don't get to use this any way you want, here's how you get to use it. And there are ways around it, but I shouldn't have to find them.
Right.
It's also, I think it's illegal to use those ways.
Yeah, I think it voids your warranty in some capacity.
Which,
if you jailbreak it or whatever. Which,
in some degree, I could see that, but I don't understand how software messes up hardware, because I think the warranty would cover the hardware. But
right.
What I don't understand all the ins and outs of that.
Yeah, the other feature on there is the Siri feature, mm-hmm. where you can speak to the phone and it does certain things, right? Why don't
yeah.
you elaborate on that? Because I find that interesting. To me, that sounds like an intuitive thing that could be a valuable tool.
Yeah, it's interesting, and basically you push the button and it goes ding, you know, how can I help you sort of a deal. In fact, I could just do it right now.
Okay. Well, what do you use it for?
Well, let's see. I'll show you. Find me... Oh, see, it didn't work there. Find me an escort service.
This escort is a little ways from you.
Nice.
Honey's Escort. It's
nice.
In Riverton, Illinois. Or Springfield.
There you go. All right, so if you want to go to Springfield, Illinois, you
yeah.
can find an escort
yeah.
service. Okay.
Well, that does it for this episode of the Quick Fast Podcast. And remember, you do what the fuck you gotta do.
And if there's no victim, there's no crime.
Have a good one.